Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Now I have something I want to show you today, and it's extremely important to me, so I have to guard it with my life while I'm here. My wife and I will be celebrating 15 years of marriage in May. Very excited about that. Thank you for clapping. My oldest son said, hey, way to go, Mom and Dad. Yeah, thanks, buddy. But we dated. We grew up together. We've known each other since we were like 10 years old. And we started seriously dating with parent permission, things, chaperone dates. We were 15, 16 years old. And I believe it was my girlfriend now, my wife at that, her idea was to, I was getting ready to go to college a little bit later, and she said we should write journals to each other. It was very sweet. So I found these last night. I don't really look at them that often because I forget that they're there. I'm not going to read anything from them, Marissa. Don't worry. I promise. And I will, it's under lock and key when we leave. But you can kind of tell we both wrote and then we'd switch and then I'd read what she wrote to me and then we'd write in those books. Marissa picked out the nice, beautiful, you know, journal, miracles. I was getting ready to go. And we can never know just what sweet miracles tomorrow may bring. This is like classic, probably 1990. No, I don't know how old it was. We got it brand new. We're not that old, are we? In the 2000s. But she wrote in it. You can't read it from there. But look, there's like all these love letters and stuff, you know, in there. I wrote some in there as well. You can see my chicken scratch handwriting somewhere in there too. Yeah, look at that. Much, much messier. But we wrote back and forth. I picked out the grungy old dollar store notebook, you know, and that I wrote in. And you can see that. Obviously, when this was at her house, when she was growing up, her brother got a hold of it because you can see Daniel Anthony Robles, my brother right here, practicing his cursive and making sure he can write his name out. He probably has read all this more than we have. And but I have these because these are so incredibly important to me. When I look at these notes and these letters, this is 2006, almost 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago. And I read the words, and it's cute, and it's sweet. But it's not just ink on a page to me. Yeah, sure, it's a grungy old Dollar Tree notebook, but it's not, though. These are priceless to me. Because when I read the notes in here, and I read the letters, and I would hope I could say the same for my wife, and I believe I can, is that when I read those, it's like I know who it's from. The words, the emotion, the love, the heart that's in that, it means something to me because I know who wrote it. The sermon today is all about the Word of God. We're in our series, in our year theme, I Believe. And today's message is, I Believe, and we're going to read this scripture in just a moment, but the message is, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, written by God, God's love letter to the world. So when we're going to talk all about this morning, when we think of the Bible and the Word of God, it's not just ink on a page. This is God's letter to you. God's letter to me. Hebrews 4:12, and we're going to use this scripture as our springboard for the entirety of the message. And please stay with me this morning. There's a lot of ground to cover, and this is a vitally important message for our church and for you as a believer. Or if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, it's important for you too, because what I'm going to talk about and what the Bible says about your eternity, about heaven, about hell is true. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I believe the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the most powerful book ever written. It is not just words on a page, as some might believe. It is the very word of the living God. I brought this little setup on purpose this morning so that this can be the focal point of the message today, that this is not just a book. I could grab this book over here. This is a hymnal. It's got hymns in it, and it's got ink on a page. But this and this are not alike. This is a life-changing, living book. This is a great book, got some great songs in it, but there's a big difference. I want this to be our focal point this morning. If the Bible is the actual words of God, it is God's divine revelation to mankind, His love letter to His children, His instruction manual for life. And in a world of shifting opinions, confusion, and we can speak to that, the world is a confusing place. In a world of shifting opinions, confusion, deception, the Bible remains unchanging and absolute. Oh, I wish I had time this morning to go through all the prophecies that were written thousands of years ago in the Old Testament that came true, the historical evidence that points to the proofs of the Word of God. It's not just somebody's made-up stories, but there is historical evidence pointing and proving the accuracy of the Bible. Over 1,500 years, the Bible was written by over 40 authors. It's incredible the consistency that the Bible has with all those different people writing. And the Scriptures talk about how it was God who breathed and God who spoke to holy men of God, and they wrote the words that God told them to. The Bible is the Word of God. And today, church, I want to declare with full conviction, as the pastor of this church, as a man of God, as a Christian, as a child of God, I want to declare with full conviction that I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it is divinely inspired. I believe it is absolutely true. And I believe that it is completely sufficient for every area of life. For every area of life. But I don't want to just make that statement. I want to prove it to you this morning through the Word itself. And Hebrews 4:12, the scripture that we just read, gives a powerful description of the nature of God's Word. You know, this is not in my notes at all, but I want to say this. I grew up in a very conservative, strict, fundamental Baptist church, which, by the way, I'm grateful for. There's a lot of things that we do differently now, method-wise, than the way I grew up. But one thing that I'm glad that I grew up learning was the importance of the Word of God, and not just what's inside of it, but taking care of it. You know what they taught me growing up? And I'm not, if you don't do this, that's fine. But they said, don't ever put a book on top of your Bible. And I'm like, what? And as a kid, I remember forever. Now it happens once in a while at the house. Obviously, we got four kids. But growing up, man, if there was another book on top of my Bible, I'm like, move it, get it off there. You know? And that's funny. And don't ever put your Bible like here or there. Or don't let it like, don't shove it in a corner somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And I was so strict. And I am with my boys now too, because it's how I was brought up. But I'm grateful for that, because you know what? This isn't just another book. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible, the Word of God. And because it's the Word of God, because it's God's actual words, it should be taken care of and respected and given honor and given priority in our lives. The verse, Hebrews 4:12, gives five undeniable reasons why the Bible is truly the Word of God. And as we go through each one, I want you to consider some things. I want you to ask yourself some questions this morning. I want you to stay with me and focus. Ask yourself, as we go through this scripture, do you truly believe in the power of God's Word? Do you read it? Do you trust it? Do you live by it? So let's start with the first one. The scripture says that the Word of God is quick. Hebrews 4:12, the first part of that scripture says, the Word of God is quick. The word quick here in the scriptures and in the Bible means alive. It's living. The Word of God is quick. It is alive. The Bible is not a dead book. It is not an old, forgotten book. It is alive. It's alive because the author is alive. God is alive. Unlike any other book, the Bible speaks across generations, transforming lives in every age, in every culture. That's why the same book, the same words that changed the lives of people 1,000 years ago, and 2,000 years ago and beyond, is still changing lives today. The Word of God, the Bible, it's alive. John 6, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Have you ever read a scripture and suddenly felt like it was God speaking directly to you? Well, that's because He is. It's God speaking to you. The Bible's not just a historical record, although it does have a lot of proven historical records, which I believe prove the authenticity of the Word of God. But it's not just historical records. It's a living Word that still speaks and convicts and leads us today. Many people, maybe even you today, say, "I just wish God would speak to me more. Oh, I just wish I could hear His voice." And I'm telling you, church, He already has. His Word is for you. We have access to it whenever we want. The Bible, the Word of God. If you feel distant from God, if you feel some separation between you and God, you don't know why, ask yourself, the first question to ask is, am I reading His Word? Am I letting Him talk to me? The Bible brings spiritual life to those who receive it. To those who receive it. It revives the weary soul. It strengthens the weak. It gives hope to the discouraged. Listen, if you need revival in your spirit, and I have no doubt that some of you do, you need a revival in your spirit of God. You feel distant. You feel lost. You feel a little hopeless. If you need revival in your spirit, go run to the Word. Run to the Word. It's quick. It's also, the scriptures say, the Word of God is quick. And the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. The Bible is not just inspiring, although it is powerful. It has the power to save the soul. The scriptures, the truth of the gospel found in the Word of God. It has the power to save the lost, to break strongholds, to transform lives, to defeat the enemy. The gospel itself is described in Romans 1. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's not man's wisdom or philosophy that saves us. No, it's the power of God's Word. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" 2 Timothy 3:16, we read this scripture earlier. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. My friend, are you struggling with sin this morning? Are you facing spiritual battles in your life? And if you're a child of God trying to live for God, then you should be experiencing some spiritual battles. The power to overcome is in God's Word. Jesus Himself used Scripture to defeat Satan when He was in the wilderness. Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days to fast, and the enemy came to Him. The devil came to Him to tempt Him 3 different times. And every time the enemy tempted Jesus Christ, the Son of God who was God, Jesus responded with these 3 words. "It is written." If Jesus, the Son of God, used the power of the Word to fight the devil, how much more do we need to use it? Whatever you're facing today, whatever it may be, temptation, fear, depression, doubt, the power to overcome is found in the Word of God. 6-7 years ago, when I was coming clean from my struggles with addictions, I was a new man in Jesus Christ. My wife had shown so much grace to me in that time. And I remember one night I laid down to go to bed, a pure and free man, but the enemy started to try to throw lies at me and to tempt me. And I'll tell you, it wasn't on Cape. It was where we used to live. And I remember feeling just absolutely oppressed by the enemy. And I said, "Honey, I'm feeling like a major struggle right now and oppression. And she said, well, let's get up and read. And I got my Bible and I walked through that house at midnight while the boys slept, and I went to Ephesians chapter 4, and I began to out loud read Ephesians 4, which talks about spiritual battle and the power of God to overcome the enemy. And I began to really almost preach to the devil right there in that house. My wife began to sing the songs of God, and I walked through every crevice and corner of that house reading the scriptures. I'll never forget, as long as I live, feeling the power of God's word in me as I said, get out of my house. I don't want you here any longer. I don't want you. Get out. Get out. I went out to the front door at 2 a.m. on that front porch, and I felt like I could just see in my mind the enemy and all of his demons walking down the road saying, hey, you're not allowed here anymore. And I'm shouting scripture. The power of God's word, I've experienced it myself. There's power. The word of God is powerful. The enemy flees at the word of God, at the name of Jesus. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is also, the scripture saying in Hebrews 4:12, it's also sharper than any two-edged sword. A two-edged sword cuts both ways. It's sharp. It's precise. It's deadly. And the Bible is described as a two-edged sword. Why? Because the Bible, the Word of God, cuts through lies. It cuts through deception. It cuts through spiritual blindness. It's sharp. Ephesians 6, when the author, when Paul is telling us to put on the armor of God, he says in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Revelations 1 and verse 16 says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Talking about God, the words of God, they're sharp. They cut through lies, deception. We may think that we have it all together, that we're doing just fine, that our spiritual life is in order. And then we read the scriptures and the word of God begins to convict us and cut through that spiritual blindness where we finally say, oh my goodness, I'm not where I should be. I need the grace of God in my life. I've been lying to myself. The word of God is sharp. I mentioned Matthew 4. Jesus in the wilderness being tempted of the devil 3 different times. The devil said, hey, here's these stones. You've been fasting for so long. Why don't you got the power. Turn these stones into bread and eat something, man. And Jesus said, no. When we're tempted, the word of God allows us to overcome temptation. Imagine a Christian struggling with temptation, whether it's anger or lust or pride or dishonesty, and we're struggling with this temptation, and the devil says, just give up, man. Just do it. It's not a big deal. Nobody will know. But then when that believer wields the sharp sword of God's word, and respond like Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Satan tempted him. Jesus didn't argue with the devil. Jesus didn't negotiate with the enemy. He quoted scripture. When the devil said, turn these stones into bread and eat something, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Later on, the enemy said, hey, you know what? You're up on this tall tower. If you throw yourself off, your angels will save you. Man, come on, prove your power. And what did Jesus say? It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then finally, the enemy showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and everything. And he said, listen, if you just bow down and worship me, Jesus, you can have all of this. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The next time temptation comes in your life, and it will, the next time it does, don't fight it with willpower. You'll lose. Fight it with the word of God. Some of you got to get better at memorizing some scripture. You got to take some scriptures and memorize them and hide them in your heart. So when the enemy attacks, you can quote that and say, leave me alone. I stand on the truth of God's word. You overcome temptation, that sharp sword. You can defeat the lies of the enemy. You can battle that self-doubt and fear. Imagine a woman struggling with self-worth, constantly hearing the enemy's lies in her heart that say, you're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. God doesn't really love you. Nobody loves you. And she begins to believe it. Until She picks up the sword of the Spirit and she opens to Psalm 139 and verse 14 and reads, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then she turns over to Romans chapter 8 verse 38 and the scriptures say, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And the sharp truth of God's word cuts through the lies of the enemy and replaces them with truth. Church, my friend, that is what we need to do. The Word of God is sharp. It cuts through those lies. And some of you have begun to believe and really have believed those lies for so long. They're becoming the truth in your life. It's time to cut through them with the sharp Word of God. If you struggle with negative thoughts, don't let them take root any longer. No, by the grace of God, pull those up from the root and replace them with the truth of God's word. Fight back with scripture. We sang it today. And the Bible, it reveals who you are in Christ. I'm not who anyone else says I am, but I am who you say I am. And that word of God has the power to silence the voice of the enemy. Overcoming temptation, defeating that self-doubt and those lies. Convicting a hardened heart. Imagine a man that sits in a church every week and hears the preaching of God's word, but never lets the word truly penetrate his heart. And maybe that's you this morning. You've been here every Sunday, and you've heard the preaching of God's word. You may have even sung the songs, but you really have such a hard heart from your past or from the busyness of your life, and you're just very apathetic. You don't really care. You come to church to feel better about yourself, but your heart is hard. You're comfortable in your sin of apathy or addiction or fill in the blank. You'd find just going through the motions. But one day, as this man with a hard heart listens to a sermon on Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God, something happens. The sharp Word of God pierces him. He remembers Acts 2:37 in the New Testament when the crowd, the scriptures say, after Peter preached the gospel, that the crowd was pricked in their hearts. And he feels the weight of conviction finally. And he realizes that God's word is cutting through all of his excuses. And he can no longer ignore it. And that day he surrenders to Christ. That's the word of God. Sometimes we resist God's word because it convicts us. We don't like it's not natural for us to like the feeling of conviction. We start to feel bad about the way we're living against God. But that's what the Word of God does. If you feel pierced by the truth and convicted in your heart from the Word of God, don't run from it. Run to God. His Word doesn't cut us to destroy us. It cuts us to heal us. Like if you had a bad infection, you got to get that infection out of there so you can heal properly. That's what the Word of God does. So are you using the word, the sword of the Spirit, or is it just collecting dust at your house? I've been guilty of that. Get so busy with work and school and life and all the raising kids and all this stuff that you don't give the time that deserves, the time that you need in the Word of God to convict your soul. God's word is sharp, but only if you pick it up and use it. It's a weapon. The Word of God is a weapon. And when we face spiritual attacks, we must fight back with Scripture. The devil, like I mentioned, fears the Word of God. It's got a lot more power than we give it credit for. It's got a lot more power than we would admit because we just kind of live the lives we live. The devil knows the power of God, probably even in the power of God's word, probably more than we do. Are you equipped with the sword of the Spirit? Do you have Scripture hidden in your heart? I'm grateful. I mentioned my upbringing in a very strict private Christian school. And yeah, there was a lot of crazy stuff that went on. But I'll tell you one thing they did right. Man, they had us memorizing Scripture. And there's still Scripture that I can quote today, not because I'm some genius, far from it, but because as a child, I was taught to memorize the Scriptures, and I'm grateful for it. Do you have Scripture hidden in your heart, ready to use in times of temptation and trial? Not only is it sharp, but the Word of God pierces, it next says in the Scripture, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. The Word of God goes deeper than surface-level religion. A lot deeper than that. It pierces the heart. The Word of God exposes our thoughts, exposes our desires, our motives. It convicts us of sin, and it reveals what is truly inside us. That's the power of God's Word. I mentioned Acts 2. When Peter preached, the people were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out, "What shall we do?" Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts." Has the Bible ever convicted you? Think about it this morning, church. You're in the house of God. You're in church today to hear from the Word. Don't get bored right now. Listen, hear it, because God's got a word and the enemy wants you to miss it this morning. Have the Bible ever convicted you? Has the Bible ever made you uncomfortable? That's because God's word is doing spiritual surgery in you, cutting out sin, bringing healing. Whether I'm talking about the way we should live our lives according to the word of God, maybe I'm talking about, in Hebrews when it says, not forsaking the assembling, and say, hey, you got to get to church, make church priority. And in your heart, you're like, oh, I got so much going on. Listen, God is convicting you. Don't fight against it, but run to him. Let it work in your life. When you feel convicted by the word of God, whether in the privacy of your own home reading the scriptures or in a church building during a sermon, don't get mad about it. How dare the pastor say that? What, are you going to say that to God? How dare you write that, God? No, don't fight against it. It's supposed to pierce us. And that hurts sometimes, but it'll make you better. And lastly, the word of God is not just pierces, but it's a discerner. It discerns. The scripture says the word of God is powerful and quick, and it also is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible doesn't just tell us what we do, the sin that we commit. It reveals why we do it. The Bible exposes our hidden motives, our intentions. Psalm 119, verse 105, which, by the way, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all the Bible, over 100 verses, and every verse of Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. And it says in verse 105, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." John 17, 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Now, today, in this culture, the main mantra, the message of every show you watch, every movie you watch, it seems to be follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Man, let your heart lead you. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I have learned from personal experience that oftentimes what my heart is leading me to do is not what God would have me to do. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But my heart is deceitful. My heart will lie to me. Just because I feel a certain way doesn't make it truth. I have to follow what the Word of God says over what I feel. We must follow God's Word, not our hearts. Because only the Word of God can truly guide us in the right direction. Church, this morning as we finish up, the Bible is more than just words. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharp, it's piercing, it's discerning. It's the voice of God that you get to hold in your hands. If you have neglected the Bible, return to it. Don't feel, well, every time I try to start reading, I end up quitting, and I feel I'm tired of failing. Quit with that. That's the enemy lying to you, trying to get you not to read it all. Just go back to it. If you have neglected it, go back to it. If you have doubted the Bible, believe it. By faith, say, this is the words of God. I believe it. If you have grown cold in your faith, let the word revive you. I want to finish with this illustration this morning. In our lives, we have a lot of decisions we have to make, especially as adults. We have choices to make in the way that we raise our family and in the choices that we make in everyday life, big decisions, little decisions. And what drives us to make choices could be different things, things that carry weight in our lives. For many of us, it may be our thoughts. What we think about something, and what we think about something, I'm going to hold it in my hand for now. Our thoughts, what we think about something drives us to make a decision, to make a choice. I think this is how things should go, so I'm going to make a decision. For some of us, it's that. For some of us, also, it may be our feelings. Thoughts, by the way, lead to feelings. The way we think about something leads to feelings. And the way we feel drives us to make decisions. Sometimes really big decisions. We make big life-changing decisions based on feelings. And by the way, I'm not saying that these are not valid at all either. Okay, the way you feel about something is important. For some of us, it's the opinions of others carry a lot of weight in our lives. So how other people think and feel about our decisions cause us to make certain decisions. Listen, what my dad thinks about the choices I make is important to me because I love and respect my dad. These can carry a lot of weight in the decisions that we make. For some of us, it can be our past, things that we've experienced in our lives, where every time we're getting ready to make a forward decision or a life-changing decision, our past kind of gets brought up in the back of our mind. We say, oh yeah, but remember what happened then? And we make decisions based on our past. By the way, all of these things are valid things. How we think about things is important. How we feel about choices and decisions to make in lives as spouses, as parents, as people are important. Hey, what happened to us when we were younger, our past, our experiences are important to the people that we are today. And even the opinions of other people. Listen, people that I love and trust, I do value their opinion. But can I just say that these and many other things that carry weight in our lives, in the end of it all, nothing should carry more weight than the Word of God. Because this is absolute truth. The opinions of others could be off base. My feelings, my heart could be a liar. So I can't listen to my heart. Hey, what I think, my thinking can be flawed. My thinking can be skewed. My thinking can be based off circumstances that shouldn't reflect and shouldn't push me to a decision. But the Word of God, and it's heavy. It should carry weight. My past shouldn't make decisions for my future. What carries weight in your life when it comes to making decisions? Is it all these things? Which, by the way, I'm all for validating these things. I'm not saying ignore all that. But what carries more weight? Because at the end, my thoughts may say one thing, but the Bible says something else. My feelings, when they go against the truth of God's Word, hey, the Word of God is right. When my past begins to, listen, God says, I've forgiven your past. It's all right. I'm leading you to better things. This needs to carry the most weight in our lives. Guess what is great about that? When we put all of our stock in the Word of God and what it says, it takes a lot of pressure off us. We just trust the Word of God. I don't have to, listen, God does give us free will to make decisions sometimes, yes, but at the end of it all, I'm basing truth not on this is my truth. No, there's no my truth. There's the truth of God's Word. There's the truth of God's Word, and that is what I believe. Church, will you commit today to reading, to studying, to loving the Word of God that wants to change your life? God wants to change your life and use you for His glory and use you and give you purpose and give you meaning and give you identity. But you must trust the truth of God's Word and what it says. He won't let you down. God is faithful. His Word is true. God is faithful and His Word is true. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service.
You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.